Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This morning I'm preaching a message entitled Formula for Faith to be Increased. Formula for Faith to be Increased. As you stand, as you find Luke chapter 17, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Not every church I go to has the custom of standing for the reading of God's word, and that's okay if you don't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we have to stand for the reading of God's word, but I work with primitive people who don't understand the importance of this book, and so I have them stand to give reverence to the word of God, and then it makes me feel like I'm at home where we're standing. I need to give this little bit of a disclaimer before we get into the scriptures and the sermon. I'm a very enthusiastic preacher. I don't apologize for it. That's how God wired me. But if my enthusiasm offends you, then please don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to the word of God. Luke chapter 17, I think we're just going to focus in on the fifth verse. We'll be spending time through the chapter and other chapters in the Gospel of Luke. But let's just read the first verse of, let's read the fifth verse as a springboard into the message. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let's read that again. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then you may be seated. Our gracious Heavenly Father, there's a lot to be thankful for. In 2 hours, Father, I was on an airplane and traveled almost 1,000 miles to be here. Arrived and was picked up by a precious brother and taken to a comfortable room. You gave me a good night's rest. But my entire thinking, my mind, my heart has been on this moment right here for several weeks now, really ever since the meeting's been scheduled over a year ago. And so, Father, we're asking once again, it's not the first time I've prayed or we've prayed, but we're asking that you meet with us, that you take your word and you breathe upon it with a breath from heaven. You ignite it with the fires of the Holy Ghost and you hide your servant behind the cross. Take control of my heart and my mind and my tongue. Help me to say everything I should say and leave unsaid what ought not to be said. And help me to honor this pulpit that doesn't belong to me. You've given this sacred desk to another preacher and he's lent it to me. And so, Father, I want to be faithful to your word. Help me to be a blessing to the pastor, his wife and family. Help me to be a blessing to the missionaries. Help me to be a blessing, Father, to this, the bride of Christ. But most important of all, Father, help me to be a blessing to the heart of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As you study Luke chapter 17, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in the first four verses, but it's talking about forgiveness in those first four verses that I believe the disciples were having a difficult time forgiving. You have to realize what these men had done. They had almost, what it seemed like, turned their back upon their race, their culture. It seemed like they had turned their back on their beliefs. We know that they had found the truth of their beliefs as becoming converted Jews, but they never left. They couldn't stop being Jews. That's what God made them. But they were having a hard time forgiving. And in the midst of this, I have a red letter edition. Doesn't make it a special Bible. But if you were to look at Luke chapter 17, everything in the first four verses in red, everything after that is red, but first five is in black. In other words, everything is Jesus said, but it jumps out. Verse 5 jumps out because in the midst of not being able to forgive, they understood their lack of faith. Y'all catch that?
Yeah, they did.
Not being able to forgive, they understood their lack of faith, and they prayed, Lord, increase our faith. I believe that should be our prayer this week during Faith Promise Missions Conference. You will be challenged by the word. You'll be challenged by the presentations. You'll be challenged by the testimonies of the missionaries. You'll be challenged, even in Q&A, you'll be challenged that these people have given their lives to leave the greatest nation in all the world. In all its imperfection, it doesn't get any better than the U.S. of A.
Amen.
And I've been around the block a couple times, 24 different countries.
Yep.
And they're leaving this great nation, going to third world countries, trying to fit in. And though no matter how hard you try to fit in, and my brother's married to an Asian, so to help him just a little bit. But no matter how hard you try to fit in, they can still tell you're a foreigner.
Amen.
Without compromising your convictions, you try to fit in. To be more like the indigenous people so you can reach them, because the Apostle Paul said, I'm all things to all men, that I might save some. And they're leaving this great nation. And so throughout the presentations, you're going to be challenged. And through the Word of God, you're going to be challenged. And you're going to find yourself maybe in the midst of those challenges that your faith is just not what it really should be. And so what should your prayer be? The prayer of the apostles. Lord, increase our faith. We live in a day and age of little faith. Luke 18:8, there's a phrase there in that verse that says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a question, by the way, amen, that remains to be answered. Right. Great faith is needed for our cities and for our nation and in our world. And I'm not going to get up here and reiterate everything the news is already telling you, but we're in difficult times. And maybe these difficult times might have caught you off guard, but the truth of the matter is these difficult times have not caught the man of God off guard. We knew something was coming because something had to come to wake up this nation, the church, out of its sleep and its slumber. Amen. I call the church the sleeping beauty. Yeah. You know what she needs? A kiss of her prince to awaken her out of her sleep and our slumber. Something. It was like the prophets of old. They couldn't tell you the valleys of prophecy, but they could tell you the mountaintops of prophecy. We couldn't tell you what was coming, but something was coming. We saw the writings on the wall, and we live in difficult times. But watch now, the gospel is still the gospel. Amen. And the word of God is still the word of God. And the work of the Lord goes on while it is still day. And the opportunities to serve Christ are now, and now is the accepted time. Right. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. And so God's people need to get busy. I don't know what you're expecting out of Faith Promise Conference. I don't know what you're expecting out of the weeks of meetings. I don't know if you're planning on coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I hope that you would. Because your presence here will signify not only to God, but to you and others, that this is an important week. Amen. We live in a day and age of such little faith. A great faith is needed for our cities, our nation, and our world. Amen. Acts 26:18 says that we're to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I've seen that verse come alive with the opening of the gypsy people's eyes and their coming to Christ and leaving those dark practices and the sins that so easily beset. Without faith, there is no hope.
That's right.
For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The gypsy language, and of course I'm bilingual. I was raised in a home in America, but our home was bilingual. When Dad said something in gypsy, if you didn't understand it, you better find out what he said. And so it was a bilingual home. And the gypsy language is a limited vocabulary language. It's not an updated language. By and large, it's an unwritten language. I have to write to our nationals. I speak some Hungarian. I speak some Romanian, but I can't write in it. And so I have to write in the gypsies. I write in their phonics. But because it's a limited vocabulary language, it's missing in words. Matter of fact, when I go to a country other than America to preach to gypsies, I have to learn some indigenous words because we don't have a lot of spiritual terms in our language. Matter of fact, the word we use for hell is just fire, a yug. But it's more than that. And there's two words that is missing from the gypsy language that just breaks my heart. And one of those words is hope. What do you call a people who don't have a word for hope?
Yeah.
Hopeless.
Yeah.
Second word that's missing from the gypsy language that breaks my heart is the word future. Yeah. Without hope, because they live for the here and now. They live for the moment.
Yeah.
Without hope, there is no future. You say, what do you do, Brother Stevens? I give them hope in any language. Mm-hmm. Give them future in any language. And so a great faith is needed. You see, without faith, we cannot please God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
That's right.
But it takes faith. And God gives to every man a measure of faith. Romans 12:3, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I don't know how much faith God is giving you to put something on that faith promise card, but I know that he's giving you a measure of faith. And let me challenge you, if you're not involved in faith promise, start somewhere. You say, Brother Stevens, Brother Mix invented faith promise. No, he didn't. Well, say the founding fathers of the church invented faith promise. No, they didn't. Who did? God. He said, well, you're going to have to prove it to me. I'm going to prove it to you this week from the Word of God. Yep. Faith promises God's plan. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the child of God is to exist by his or her faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Amen. And increased faith is acquired through the Word of God. Yes. That's why we have preaching at Faith Promise Missions Conference. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But watch now, according to our text verse, that faith is granted through prayer. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I'm not talking about faith in faith. We see a lot of that.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about faith in God. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Now, God has outlined in these passages of Scripture a process for faith to be increased. Now, you're going to learn, possibly, that I'm not a deep preacher. I'm not a theologian by any means. Matter of fact, for all intents and purposes, I'm a surface preacher. But there is enough that is floating on the surface of God's Word that we can satisfy the soul of men and women and boys and girls. There are nuggets of gold and precious gems and nuggets of silver just floating on top of Scripture. So here's what the preacher does. He gathers them. I assemble them, and then I distribute them and share them with you.
Amen.
And so from these passages of Scripture, I'm an expository preacher. Many times the Bible will preach itself. It just needs a voice.
Yeah.
Help me.
Amen.
So let me give you the process. We'll see it in verse 6. Here's the request. Now remember, what did they say? Lord, increase our faith. Did he instantly say, okay, your faith is increased? No, he gave them a process. Help me here. What did he give them? His word.
That's right.
Faith cometh by hearing. So what does he give them? He gives them verse 6. If you had faith, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Number one, faith needs to be experienced. Now, I know it's the early church crowd, and it's an academic point, but the point is about being saved. You can't build on faith that you don't have.
Amen.
So if you're here this morning and have never met the person of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the starting place. This is the foundation of faith. Jesus is the foundation. There is no other foundation which is laid, which can be laid, which is the Lord Jesus. It is the starting place of faith by being introduced to the person of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is saving faith, or as this verse teaches us, mustard seed faith.
Amen.
This is childlike faith, because Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Most of us are still trying to figure out what this born-again salvation thing is. And we come to it with an intellectual approach. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't believe we should leave our brains outside the church door when we come in. But the intellect is not enough. And the first place that the gospel does enter is the ear. You can't get a man's heart till you get his ear. Help me, missionaries. Can't get a man's heart until you get his ear. The gospel enters here. And where does it go next? To the intellect. And there are people who make intellectual decisions, but they may not be saved. We have those who have emotional decisions. But when the intellect and the emotions combine, and there's an act of the will, bada bing, bada bang, they're born again. Help me. And so there's a meeting place of faith, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. We're trying to figure out the new birth with a logical mind when it's miraculous. And the finite mind cannot totally comprehend the miraculous. Here's Walter Stevens' definition of a miracle. It's the suspension of the natural to perform that which is supernatural.
Amen.
I have a hard time explaining the natural, let alone the supernatural. Help me, church.
Amen.
The greatest miracle that you'll ever experience is the new birth. Watch this now. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now watch now. He's the natural man, but with the new birth, he becomes a supernatural man. Help me, church.
Yeah.
Indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And we're trying to figure the new birth with the logical mind. Jesus said, if you don't become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And you say, well, little children, what does that mean? You know, children have great faith.
They do.
Lily, little Joy, doesn't have to worry whether Lily's going to feed her.
Right.
This is Joy. Say, wave Joy. And Joy doesn't have to worry whether Brother and Sister Smith is going to feed them.
That's right.
Does she? No, because she lives by faith. Faith in what? Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to worry that she's going to need a warm place when it's cold or a cool place when it's hot. She lives by faith. Faith in who? Mom and Dad. She doesn't even know she's living by faith, but she trusts. She trusts in them. Mom and Dad's going to take care of me. Mom and Dad's never going to hurt me, just like these babies do right here. That's why Jesus said, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Because children have great faith. When I was a little boy and Mama was crossing the street with me and I was holding Mama's hand, Katie, and I would put my hand in Mama's hand. Never once did we come to the curb and never once did I put out my hand and say, hold on there, Mama, I got to see if any cars are coming. I never did that.
Right.
Why? Because I trusted Mama that when I put my hand in Mama's hand, by faith, I knew that she was going to get me safely to the other side. Watch, church. When we put our hand in the faith of the Master, the Lord Jesus, we can trust him by faith that he's going to get us to the other side.
Amen.
So it's childlike faith. Now, I know this is kindergarten for many of you. It's academics, but we need to hear it many times over and over. But if you're here today and not born again, Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, I don't quite understand that new birth. Well, that's why we're here, isn't it, Pastor? To explain to you what the new birth is so that you can have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. October 4th, 1980, I knelt down in my travel trailer in Loudonville, Ohio during the Loudonville Street Fair. It was the last day of the street fair. A carnival worker had been witnessing to me for 6 months. He said three words in the beginning of the spring of 1980. The carnival season starts in the spring and ends in the fall. Three words he said in May 1980, you need Jesus. He was such a young believer preacher, he would fumble through the scriptures. But his testimony spoke volumes. Man that was on drugs and alcohol literally beat his employees, had a terrible relationship with his wife, but he was dramatically changed. He told me, you need Jesus. 6 months have transpired. Last festival of the year, he and I are going to split part ways. I went to him and I said, you told me I need Jesus. How do I get Jesus? Told me to get alone with God. Pray. Tell God that I'm a sinner. And ask Jesus to save me. And I knelt beside my bed in that travel trailer. And I looked toward the heavens and I prayed a prayer something like that. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't understand the Bible. I said, I don't understand Christianity. I said, I don't understand the church. But I told him I was lost, undone. And I needed to be saved. And you know what Jesus did at that very moment? He saved my wicked soul. And establish my feet upon the rock. Now, that's the beginning of faith, experiencing faith. But even mustard seeds are expected to grow. So Christians are expected to mature. And this is not the first time that Jesus has spoke about the mustard seed. Go to Luke chapter 13. In verse 18 and 19. Then said he, Jesus, that is, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereto shall I resemble it? It is like, here's the mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew. Catch that? Help me.
Yeah.
And it waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air landed in the branches thereof. Mustard seeds are expected to grow, the planting of the mustard seed into the new birth, watching it grow to become a great tree. Where the growing and the branches are for a resting place of others, giving shade to the weary of the land. That brings me to my second point. First, faith needs to be experienced. Secondly, faith needs to be exercised.
Yes.
Exercised. Now go back to Luke 17. We're answering the apostles' request for increased faith. He talked about the mustard seed, new birth. But I want you to see what he sees and says in verses 7 to 10. Now, remember, this is a response to their request. But which of you having a servant plowing and feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? He says, I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Here's what Jesus is teaching his disciples: to exercise faith, to put faith into practice, doing the duties of faith. The very first duty of faith is baptism. After we're born again, it's scriptural baptism, identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then it's church attendance, church membership, it's prayer and Bible study. It's witnessing our faith, telling others. It's giving, giving of the tithe, giving to faith promise, giving special offerings. That's what the Bible teaches that the child of God is supposed to do. But many times we lack in that area of service, doing the duties of faith, especially in the areas of giving. Have you heard the joke about the dollar bill and the $50 bill and the $100 bill having a conversation? And the dollar and the 50 say to the $100 bill, preacher, they say, where have you been, $100 bill? And $100 bill says, I've flown in the biggest jets, I've stayed in the finest hotels, I've been all over the world. And then the 100 and the dollar ask the 50, 50, what about you? And the $50 bill says, I've flown in some nice airplanes, I've stayed in some good hotels, I've eaten in some good restaurants, and I've traveled all across America. And then the $100 bill and the $50 bill say to the dollar bill, where have you been doing? Where have you been? And the dollar bill goes, church, church, church. That's all I ever see is church. If you counted the offering, you would know that's not funny. Giving is a part of the doings. Our first steps as babes in Christ. Watch now. We're talking about experiencing faith. That's the new birth. But exercising our faith, that's what Jesus tells them. It's in context, folks. It's in response to the fifth verse when they say, Lord, increase our faith. He didn't give him increased faith. He told him some things that he needed to do. And it's doing the duties of faith. Nothing will increase your faith more than when you're doing that which God has called you to do, whatever it may be. I love being a layman. I love being a layman in the church, preacher. I always say I went from a super layman to a mediocre preacher. You know what I liked about being a layman? You did things that nobody saw you do. Taking out the trash for Jesus. Nobody ever patted me on the back and said, Brother Stevens, you really know how to take out trash. Cleaning Jesus' toilets. Painting something in Jesus' church. Are we all on the same page here? Doing the duties of faith. And then on to Sunday school and youth ministry. Oh, how exciting to do the first duties of our faith. Our first steps as babes in Christ. Great victories of faith and victories to remember. I remember when our four children first took their first steps. Gypsies have a little saying when they're teaching their children how to walk. They say this little phrase and pretend like there's a feather in their hand. And they put it at the behinds of the kids and they go, por palatuti, there's a feather behind you. Go walk, 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 walk. And how great it is to see our children take their first steps. So it is with the child of God. When he takes those first steps of faith, becomes faithful to the church, ask the preacher for a King James Bible, ask for a stack of tithing. How exciting to see those first steps. But we have a lot of Christians who haven't taken the first steps. Hello. In the areas of baptism and doing the duties of faith, witnessing our faith. But there's more. There's more to a life of increased faith. It's only the first two duties of faith. Jesus said we're profitable servants. Isn't that what he said in the 10th verse? Look at it. So likewise, ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, we're supposed to do duty. But if we only do what is commanded, if we only do what is expected, if we only do duty, what did Jesus say? We are unprofitable servants. Now, watch. I was going to bring me to my third point. There is more to a life of just duty for the Christian.
That's right.
Yes, we need to experience faith. It all starts there, saving faith. We need to exercise faith, doing the practical duties. It doesn't take a lot of faith to get into a baptismal tank. Hello? Just doing the duties of faith. But here's the third point. You ready? Say, we're ready, preacher. And by the way, this is the point that's going to separate the Christian men from the Christian boys. So you better fasten your seatbelts. First, we need to exercise faith. First, we need to experience faith. Then we need to exercise faith. Here we go. Then we need to extend faith. Extend faith. That's doing above and beyond the call of duty. Duty is church on Sunday morning. And extended faith, Christian, is here Sunday night. Quiet in here now. An extended faith, Christian, will be here Monday night during Christian Missions Conference. An extended faith Christian will be here Tuesday. They might even come Tuesday morning for the pastor's fellowship. Can they come, preacher?
There you go.
Oh, you're invited.
Amen.
An extended faith Christian will be here on Wednesday night. An extended faith Christian won't have a problem filling out the faith promise card. Are we on the same page here? I can't look at the heart and tell you where you're at in your faith. God says man looks on the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. I look around, everybody looks okay to me. But only you know what category of faith you're in. Are you exercising the duties of faith? Have you experienced faith? Then are you exercising faith? This is flexing the muscle of faith. This is faith that causes you to do the unexplainable. It just doesn't make any sense that a young woman would take off and go off to a foreign country. Why would she do that? Why would she go to West Africa? You want to know why? Because she's an extended faith Christian. Why would this family leave this great nation and go to China hoping and praying that they'll get in, hoping and praying that they'll be able to witness without getting arrested and put into jail? Amen. Maybe Lily might get away with it, or maybe she might even be more targeted than the American. I don't know. Right. As they see her as a traitor or someone who's turned their back on her nation. Why would they do it? It's called extended faith because they're going above and beyond the call of duty. We live in a day and age where we need extended faith Christians to impact this nation and to impact our world with the gospel. Amen. A famous man once said, for evil to triumph, good men need do nothing. Boy, we sure are seeing evil triumph, aren't we? And why is that? The only good men I know are the men in the church. It's real quiet in here now. It's okay, I'm leaving Thursday. Faith must be extended. It's Peter casting his nets when Jesus told him to after a bad night of fishing. Casting his net, I should say. Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew when the fish were biting him and they weren't. But Jesus said... Jesus said. Would you consider Peter to be an extended faith Christian? How many guys you know walked on water? And Jesus said. You know what Peter could have said? Hey, preacher. Ain't no fish biting out there. I've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That's a quote. Mama's waiting for me with breakfast. I'm going home getting bacon and eggs. No, he's not getting bacon. He's Jewish. But what'd he do? What'd he say? At thy word. Because you said so. You know what Jesus is doing this week? He's saying so.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here to amen me, preacher. Jesus is saying so.
That's right.
Yeah. We're hard on Peter. Jesus said cast nets. He only cast a net. You know what? Cast something. Huh? Cast something. I don't care what figure you put on that faith promise card. It's not about the amount of money. It's the fact that you're committed. You put a dime, a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar, five, 10, however you just put something so that God to see I'm in, preacher. I want God to know I'm in. I'm casting my net because Jesus said so. That's an extended faith Christian. It's Joshua walking around Jericho's walls. And God says, you ain't going to do it with an army. You all know the story of Joshua?
Yeah.
It's Gideon fighting a war with a handful of soldiers when he's got a major army. You know what I call this faith? I call it deep water faith.
Yeah.
Let me give you a verse. I'm not going to take you there for the sake of time. Psalm chapter 107. As a matter of fact, you need to spend some time in Psalm chapter 107. It's a mirror. You'll find yourself there. I find myself in Psalm chapter 107. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters or deep waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. The word wonder and the word miracle are interchangeable. It's the same thing. Now watch what the psalmist says. Those who do business in great waters, deep waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Watch now. There'll be no miracles on the shoreline.
That's right.
It's out in the deep waters of faith where you can enact God, invoke God, and get God to move in your life because he sees that you're trusting him in the deep waters. We expect the missionary to jump out of deep waters. We expect that missionary right there to jump out in deep waters, a single female missionary jumping out into the deep waters by faith. And you know what they're going to see if they haven't seen already? Some wonders. Yeah. I've seen them. Yeah. Miracles. When's the last time you've seen a miracle in your life? When's the last time something natural has been suspended in your life to perform that which is supernatural? You say, preacher, you're expecting us to jump out like the missionaries. No, I'm expecting you to go out by the measure of faith that God has given you. Because God has given to every man a measure of faith. Maybe this week you can go on and go out to the waters ankle deep like Ezekiel did. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel only went out ankle deep. That's the faith that you have to go out ankle deep. Yeah. Maybe you have the faith to go out to knee deep water. That's how Ezekiel went out. Before you know it, Ezekiel was out to waist high waters. Maybe that's the faith you have. Maybe God's calling you to the mission field and you'll jump out like these missionaries did.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
And then eventually you'll be out in waters that you got to swim in. And you know what? You can only swim for a while. It's in the deep waters of faith that we trust God. That's an extended faith Christian. So what's Jesus telling these apostles to their response to their request? Lord, increase our faith. Well, got to be born again. Got to do the duties. Can't extend the faith until you've done the duties. And then extend your faith. The church, this is faith above and beyond the call of duty. Church attendance can become just duty. Giving and serving can become duty. Souls even can become, winning souls can be duty. This is the stretching of your faith. This is faith above and beyond human comprehension because it's more than mere duty for it. Faith, it's not just church on Sunday. It's church every time the doors are open. It's not just tithe, it's offering. It's a faith problem. It's second mile faith. The first mile is the law. First mile is duty. Second mile is your choice. You're doing it because you want to, not because you have to. Help me, church.
Amen.
I have to finish. Imagine a little Jewish boy hearing Jesus preach that sermon that he said you're supposed to give one cheek and the other coat and cloak, go 1 mile, go two. And after the sermon, he's on his way home. And a Roman soldier approaches him. And by Roman law, if that Roman soldier told you to carry his armor, by law, you had to carry that armor 1 mile. I didn't know how they calculated the miles until I saw the mile markers.
Right.
Even in Europe, they're today because Rome conquered the world. And so the little Jewish boy grabs the armor. But remember, he just heard Jesus preach 1 mile too. Huh? We're on the same page here?
Yeah.
So he grabs the Roman soldier's armor and he walks a mile. They come to the end of that mile. What does the Roman soldier expect? Here you are, Roman soldier, pork-eating Roman soldier. Here's your armor. What does the little Jewish boy do? He just heard Jesus preach. Go 1 mile, go two. He did the duty. Now he's doing something that's an extended faith. It doesn't make sense to go 2 miles. Help me, church. But it doesn't make sense for a Savior to die on a cross either. Huh? And you know what might have happened in that second mile? Maybe the Roman soldier might have looked down to the little Jewish boy and said, hey, Jew boy, every other Jewish boys I asked to carry my armor, they only went 1 mile. Why do you go two? Now he's going to explain. Well, let me tell you about a Jew named Jesus. And let me tell you what he said. And the Roman soldier might say, you mean a Jew told you to carry a Roman's armor for 2 miles? Yeah, a Jew did. I'd like to meet that Jew. Hello, is it possible?
Yes.
It's an extended faith, Christian. I'm going to finish with this, and I got to finish. There's a bonus. There's a bonus to the extended faith, Christian. Here's the last point. You will see the evidence of your faith in the second mile.
That's right.
You will see the evidence of your faith in the deep waters. An increased faith, Christian, will see the evidence of your faith, number one, because you'll see your liberty in doing the unusual. The first mile's law. The second mile's liberty. You will see your love for Christ. Could you imagine what Abraham was thinking when he was coming down from the mountain, bringing his son with him? Do you think maybe he thought, man, do I love Jesus?
Yeah.
Huh? He didn't think twice, did he? He raised that knife into the air. God had to call his name two times because he's bringing that knife down. Abraham! Abraham! By faith. He's in Hebrews chapter 11, so he must be a person of faith. Help me. And he sees the evidence of faith. Why? Because he's coming down that mountain with his son. With his son. You will see your love for Christ. You will see the work and wonders in your life. William Faulkner said this, "You cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shoreline." Did you hear that? You cannot swim for new horizons until you leave sight of the shoreline. Here's the last thought. The problem with most Christians today is their boat is still tied to the dock. Faith promise. It's not just about the faith promise card. It's about untying your boat.
Amen.
Wherever by faith God leads it. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you're here today. You've never experienced faith. You never met the person of Jesus. Maybe you're here today. You've never done the duties of faith. You've never exercised your faith. Maybe you're here today and by the challenge of God's word, you want to extend your faith above and beyond the call of duty, so that you can see the evidence of faith. Maybe by faith you'll step forward and go out into the deep waters, ankle deep, knee deep, waist high, out into where you can't touch bottom. You're here today, there was a day you trusted Christ and you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, I thank Jesus for it." Would you put your hand up? "I'm a Christian, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." Put your hand up all over the auditorium. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom is redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. We're saying so. God bless you, may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today, you've never trusted Christ. You've never experienced meeting the Master like I did October 4th, 1980. Save me out of the gutter of this world. Cleanse my soul, change my life, and allowed me to serve him. What a Savior. You say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I need to be saved." Is there one like that? Would you put your hand up that I could pray for you? I need to invite Christ into my heart. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there someone else? I need Jesus. I need to be saved. Is there someone else? For the child of God, the invitation may be too self-explanatory, especially in exercising faith. Haven't been baptized? Not giving? Not serving? Not reading your Bible, praying? That's simple. But then extending your faith. Who would say, "Preacher, I want to extend my faith this week"? Would you put your hand up all over the auditorium? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father in heaven, we've preached your word. You make it clear. If anything, the preacher muddies the waters. But it's all there. Lord Jesus, in your response to your apostles, you said that they need to do the duties of faith. They need to experience faith, exercise faith, and extend faith, doing that which is above and beyond the call of duty. But Father, there's one here that raised their hand and said they have never experienced faith. They never met the person of Jesus, and they want to. I pray, Lord, that during this invitation, they would come forward, come to the pastor, say, "Preacher, I need to receive Jesus." And then others, Father, who prayed they want to be extended faith Christians. Maybe this be the first day of their extended faith Christian life. And show them the evidence of their faith, the wonders and the miracles and the deep waters of faith. Bless this invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As the instrument begins to play, if you need to come, you come right now. Your altar is open that you need to be saved. Would you come right now as the instrument plays? Would you come? Would you come right now? The invitation is open. You say, "Preacher, why do you have an old-fashioned altar call? Why do you sing from an old-fashioned hymnal? And why do you have an old-fashioned Bible?" Because we have old-fashioned sinners. There's no new sin, new tools to do it with. You raised your hand that you need to be saved. Would you come right now? The preacher's right here. Would you come to him? Come to the preacher and tell him right now you need to be saved. Christians, you raised your hand that you want to see the evidence of your faith. You want to extend your faith. Would you come to an old-fashioned altar? This is a good place to start the conference. Go to the preacher, brother. Right there. Do you need to come? Would you come? God's people should be running to the altars. Running. Thank you, Jesus, for an opportunity at an altar in a church. You say, "Preacher, I can pray at home. That's just carpet and wood." Yeah, you're right, except when you kneel here, then it becomes a holy place as God begins to deal with you right here. Would you come right now as the Lord leads you to come? Would you come as God's spoken to you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You need to come. Would you come? What's your need today? Thank God there's an altar to run to.
Open our
would you come?
Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
There's one at the altar being dealt with by the preacher.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Would you come? Is God calling you into full-time service? You say, preacher, pray for me. God's calling me. I don't quite understand, but God's calling me. Would you put your hand up that I could pray for you? Is there one like that? Is God calling you? Would you come?
Say that.
Father in heaven, thank you for those who have come. Thank you for this one who's being dealt with about experiencing faith, meeting the Master, the person of faith, the Lord Jesus. Help us to be extended faith Christians, Lord. To do that which you've called us to do. Bless our conference, bless our service, Sunday school, and the morning service to follow, Lord, and then throughout the week, the missionary presentations. Just bless, Father, and we'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. You come as the Lord leads you to come. Would you come?
We want to see Jesus.
We want to see Jesus this week in our midst.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him. And say that we love.
The invitation is still open as long as there's one praying at the altar. We'll keep the invitation open. If you need to come, would you come?
Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
As the instrument plays, while one is being dealt with, if you need to come, would you come? Praise the Lord for one kneeling at the altar. Experiencing faith, meeting the person of faith. God gets the glory. I've been in missions conferences where there was revival. Revival broke out because we're dealing with that which is closest to the heart of God. The souls of men and women, boys and girls around the world. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you for the message and the messenger. Stir us, O God, as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this way. It's warm. We have Brother Glenn coming.